Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Tactical Tuesdays. Thanks for tuning in. On these episodes, we'll be diving deep into different areas of marketing. And again, we're going to be going in the weeds. So stay tuned. We hope you learned something and we'll see you soon. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. This is our special edition, the Tactical Tuesday. And I am joined today by Megan. She's with our team. Last time we were talking about client journey, the first 90 days and things like that. And so just want to bring her on again and kind of dive a little deeper. She's got more that she wants to cover. So I'll just be here chatting with her about those things. So Megan, welcome back. And what do you want to talk about today?
Thanks for having me back, Kevin. I wanted to pull on the thread of a few things that we talked about last week. And really, by the end of this conversation, get down to, hopefully we have a better understanding on the importance of empowering our frontline. I think that's a topic that anyone really listening in any sort of business structure can relate to. It is one of those things that continuously changes because people change. So I wanted to talk about culture and values that help shape your decisions with talent and your employees. Talk about attracting and retaining your top talent and how to empower your frontline to deliver the best results.
No, that's awesome because I was actually on a panel this week. Like it was a law firm summer boot camp. Answering Legal had me on this panel, but it was about culture within a law firm, more of the importance of it. You know, we were just having some conversation. It was like an open panel discussion and, you know, culture has an impact on your sales, your marketing, your hiring, your retention, everything. And so, you know, the conversation was all around, you know, is culture important and how do you impact it? How do you control it and all this stuff? Pretty interesting, but it definitely impacts, you know, again, the client. If we hire a law firm and we have not a great culture, it's going to show through. And how can you take care of that client, you know, if you don't have a handle on those things? So it's super important across the board and it impacts every single part of your business. In this case, you know, if you're a law firm, you have clients, having a good culture, strong culture is going to definitely go to the bottom line for sure. So,
yep. So here at Array Digital, we circulate a lot around our values and our culture. And we actually have a program here. I'll talk about our kudos program that we use, just an incentivizer for people. And ultimately, if you're doing these things anyway, those are the people that get recognized, right? So it's a good way of calling out the people that we just know we appreciate their hard work and we want to give them some ahas and nods. So how this works, we have a channel on Slack with all of our team members. And let's say Kevin, for example, he's on a call with a soon-to-be client and they're having some issues with their PPC. Or they've seen some real problems with maybe they're a little hesitant after their last agency. What Kevin will do is tap on the shoulder of our other team members here, our strategists, whether it's ads, content, SEO. And because we are so agile and smaller, so we can be, those individuals will jump in on those calls and give their perspective and their level of expertise. For something like that, that's something that they don't have to do, but they do because
they love it.
Culture and yeah, they love it. Because they embody the culture and the values that we have that we saw within them. That's why we hire them. That's why you come on board and you work with us. And that's what we reward. We reward the values that you put forth and to recognize them. And something that I like to say as well is that I like to reward exceptional behavior. So for the people that do go above and beyond, not just calling it out, but at the end of the quarter, I do believe it is at every quarter, there's the people who have the top kudos points in their category. So our values, I should probably say, winning, quality, transparency, passion.
And urgency.
And urgency. Thank you. So whenever we want to shout someone out about that urgency, Brian came in on this call with a PPC client. I needed him and he showed up, right? Or we have our web developers here. Jason won the most recent urgency award because we get clients calling us, something's broken on the site. That needs to be taken care of. That is priority. And it's urgent. Mm-hmm. So we'll take care of it. So we want to acknowledge that and call them out for that and keep reading that culture internally. So that's one of the first things. I'll start off by saying that if you don't know your culture, really sit down and think about what matters to you and what you want. Your your world to be like and how you want to influence that. Because I'll say I've probably, I don't know if I've said it in this podcast. I think I said it sometime today, though, because I was in an interview early this morning. But it's that the people that we're working with, I spend most of my time with you every day, most of the majority of the days of the week. Good culture breeds good culture. And that's why it's really important we hire, and unfortunately, sometimes we'll fire by that.
100%.
So I think it's really important to have that.
Let me elaborate just a little bit, too. Like anyone listening, if you're a law firm owner, right? How do I set my culture up? How do I control it? You know, you have a culture, whether you like it or not. If you have two people or 100 people, it doesn't matter. But I think as it comes from leadership, it starts with leadership. If you're solo or you have one or two people, you have to step back and say, what do you value? You have to establish this. And then that way you can tell people like Megan, hey, here's our values. Here's what we believe. Here's what we see as, you know, a good team having these values. Are you a fit for that? And then she can decide if that's where she wants to be. And you're going to attract the right people, and you're going to detract the people that shouldn't be there. And that's a good thing. But you really need to take time to establish that and do some of the, I forget, like I say, it's like, as entrepreneurs, we like to skip that crap. It's like, oh, just work. Let's go to work. You know, why is everyone else not wanting to just work like I do? And you have to do the exercises, the things that I thought years ago were not important. Mission statement, values, like, it's just in a book. Who cares? You have to go through those processes. You have to set that stuff up. And what we've done here is we've just taken to the next level, and we've added some technology in there and peer review. Like Megan gives points to her team members. You know, I can give points. I don't get points as the owner. Like I don't get points back. If I do, it's not really counted, but it's peer points. So it's your side-by-side team members saying, hey, Megan, thank you. Here's kudos for this. And then we do monthly bonuses that are paid out. And then we do quarterly big trophies and all kinds of cool stuff that we do. So, but I guess the biggest thing here, Megan, is really our team is using those core values every single day.
Every day.
And it's right top of mind because you're like, Megan, thanks so much, blah, blah, blah. You know, urgency, transparency, passion. And then on our company meetings, we read all the core values and go through the whole thing. So it's not just setting core values and putting them in a drawer. And that's what most companies do. Really using them on a daily basis, I think that's unique.
It's a pulse beating throughout every day of our work. So we really massage that and stretch it every single day. So I think that's something that I haven't personally found at other working environments. And it is one of those things you hear that it's tossed around a lot. And then culture, there's also something called the climate that you're working in. The climate leads towards the culture, essentially. So that's just a topic for another day, which may be another podcast episode.
Oh, we could talk about one topic right now, through the whole thing. So it's, you know, it's just so many things you can get into. But I will say, just to throw out there, Eric Olson, my business partner, and the CEO of our company, you know, this is a lot of his doing, setting up the Slack and the kudos with Zapier. So we have like some cool stuff behind it working together to calculate all this stuff. So it's just a really cool program that when I tell anybody, they're like, wow, that's cool. I never heard of that before. And so I would urge anyone to try to adopt something similar, even if it's not technology driven. It could be in the office. It could be kudos on a big whiteboard or something like that. So you can get creative with it. But it's really been the coolest thing that we've ever done. And Megan, I think it's this too. If someone's like, you know what, they weren't transparent or they don't have any passion, they show up in the meetings and that's clear. It's clear as day and they won't be here. It's just not going to be a fit. And so it's not like, well, let's just keep that person around. Who cares if they're not honest or if they, you know, don't care about their job or they don't ever do things urgently. No, like it will be, you're out basically. So, or you don't get in too. That's even better. If you don't even come in, that's even better because we don't, you know, want to have that time waste. So that's again, how powerful it is. And I think since we use them so much, so often, the team, like Megan can identify someone on the team that's not, you know, exemplifying one of those values. And then bring it to our attention.
Yeah. And then that leads into other conversations about understanding what they actually do value. It's not like our values might not align, but we probably align a lot in a lot of ways. But if there's some sort of misunderstanding, we'll seek to understand first, of course, and
Of
try
course.
to understand what their actual values are. Just like how I do with my clients. I want to know what's important to you, what your goals are, what you want to accomplish. And just like I do with my coworkers and the people that are working with me. So that's a good transition though into the next stage of this. So you know your culture and your values. How do you get the right people in the door? And how do you keep them? How do you keep them around too? That's another challenge. So
That's a huge one.
yeah, that's a big one. It's a competitive market out there. And I spoke about this a little about in our last episode about my criteria when I was looking for an opportunity and I came to Array Digital. But I've been in the game, I've been in the world for a little while, and knowing what values really guide me as a person wasn't a huge learning curve for me right now. I already did that. So you don't often get a lot of people that really know what's driving them and what their barriers are that keeps them on the straight ahead, right? So that's also just something that you suss out when you are interviewing people. And it's a great opportunity when you get someone a little more green coming in who wants to learn about, maybe they don't have their values, showing them, providing a really solid place for them to learn solid values is huge. And let them then make the decision if that's where they want to continue along with, or maybe that doesn't resonate with them. It's not a good partnership. But by showing who you are immediately for someone so they can assess you and really see that your values are true. You can never go wrong there, I definitely think. So that's something with attracting talent. We always make sure to say that in our interviews, that I'm asking questions that are around, do they have these core values through their behavior that they've exemplified before?
Yeah. I mean, they're discovering some of that maybe for the first time, and it might not be clear to them yet, but yeah, if they like where they're at and they see it and it feels good to them and makes sense, then yeah, they're going to start to align with some of those values, and maybe that's just a good fit. So I think the other thing too for law firm owners listening is with the younger talent and hybrid work and pay, competitive pays and stuff like that. Like culture is huge for younger folks, and they want to know they don't might not even care about the pay as much, right? They want, am I going to be taken care of, be heard? Do I have room for growth? That's a huge part of what their decision's going to be on. And yeah, is it flexible? Is it you have to be in the office all day? Is it about the billable hour? What is the firm's values? And it's cool if you're a less hard charge and bill the hours, and that's who we are. You're gonna find people that are like that, and they want to be there and ride that wave, right? So it's just whatever works for you. But younger folks are definitely looking for a culture fit, for
Yeah.
sure.
I had an experience with this, an initiative that we did at somewhere else I was working at the time was I had mentioned so many callbacks. We were in a period of immense growth. I was in a management role, and the managers were tasked with, among all the other things that we were working on, was, how do we become a destination employer for those in this industry? We needed analysts. We needed salespeople. What brings them here and what keeps them here? And what we actually did was create like buckets of opportunity around the values that we wanted our people to have. So my responsible project or initiative that I actually spun off of, one of the most rewarding experiences of my career, was creating a corporate social responsibility committee within our company, derived of our company's employees. And we partnered directly with New York Cares and created opportunities for volunteerism because that was important to a lot of our people. We had one girl, I actually adopted my dog from the rescue that she volunteered at. So we were able to volunteer with her rescue. We would do runs for and walks for St. Jude. And the most rewarding experience, one of the rewarding experiences from that time, was when I was interviewing and we had someone come in for an in-person interview, and he asked me, I think it was the day before I was presenting my pitch to our VPs, like, I want to have this program. We need X, Y, and Z. This hire asked me, what kind of opportunities do you have for volunteerism with your organization? And I floored. I'm like, you are who we want because we're going to help you do what excites you. And this is around this. We want people that that care. You fall into that great bucket for us, and we're going to set you up with around other people who are doing what you do and also care about what you care about. So through doing programs like that, that's how you retain your people, because we're giving them things that's not just a paycheck. We're helping them explore their passions and their interests and the things that matter to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like you said, too, it's you spend more time at work than you do anywhere else. So, you know, it's not like you're just making a decision to do something an hour or two a day. Like, it's the majority of your life, basically. So,
yeah. I mean, we had other buckets too. There was one that some people just really wanted more perks. We did a poll in the survey with our company. Like, what are we missing? What do you want? Which is a scary. I don't recommend to do just for anyone, because you get a lot of answers. But some of them are like, we don't have any swag. I want some stuff that has our logos on it. Or, you know, when you get hired at like the Chase Bank, you get the laptop case and everything. And they're like, we want some stuff. We could do stuff. That's okay. So things like that. And that made people excited. So you do it. Or we had like a lunch program, like once a week, we would order from a place that people would vote for. So things like that. But we were just taking the time to really say, well, what'll make you happier to have this day and to get through your job for the day, right? It was a really, really good exercise. And if you haven't done that or thought about that, or you just have those conversations in your supervisor meetings, just one-on-one, even one-on-one conversations with your staff, especially your frontline staff. So they're the ones that are the first line of defense for your prospects and your precious, precious clients. So really making sure that they're excited and that they're not just going to poof on a phone call. You know, they're going to actually listen to someone and talk to them because they feel heard.
Oh, that's huge. Your frontline, like, are you really taking care of that and making them feel, you know, empowered? Well, one of the big things I've been talking about recently is, you know, they have mental ownership. Like Megan, I want Megan to have mental ownership in my company. It means that she protect our culture and cares versus I don't care. I'm just going to check out and I'm done. Yeah. And I don't really care what happens. If you get a culture like that, then it's going to be a lot of turnover. You're going to lose a lot of clients and you're definitely not going to build a referral system as a law firm. That's for sure. So, you know, you got to look at what that looks like. You know, why would they feel like this is their company, their people, their team, and care enough as if they have ownership in it? There's actually a good book I read recently, which is All In. It kind of breaks that all down. It's pretty cool by Mike Michalowicz. He was actually on the show, podcast recently. But great book to check out, All In, if you want to check that out. But anyway, we can do that. That's a whole deeper conversation.
So we have our culture and values. Now we're walking down the journey here. We have our culture and values. We've done that work. We know what we want. We've attracted the right people. We have programs to keep them here. How do we empower them? Right? Because the lunches, for example, is that empowering them to do their jobs? You know,
it's a perk.
It's a perk, not an empowerment tool. So, and what is it? How do you think of the word empowerment, Kevin? Empowerment. What does that mean to you?
I mean, obviously, I think giving them the ability, the tools to do their job, to allow them to make decisions, some more coaching than saying, hey, Megan, go do this. You need to give your folks a platform to figure things out, but they also know that they can be supported, that they can talk to leadership, that they can kind of create their own destiny, if you will, versus being like, here's a box, you're stuck in it. And just do these things. You're just doing tasks, and if you go outside of that, you know, we're going to be coming to talk to you. So you just have to have the open communication and encouragement. Like, hey, where do you want to go? Like, what's your goals? Do we even know your goals? Do we want to, are we trying to work towards your goals? How do we fit in that? So
see where you got right there is where I was hoping you'd get to. It comes back to their goals, and if we haven't done the work in the beginning to understand what we want, understand what they're looking for, by the time we get here, we're wasting all of our time. No one's happy now. We're all frustrated.
Yeah. You don't want someone showing up and then being like a year or two and like, yeah, so what are your goals? Like, what are you doing here? You know, you're just here for the job. Here you go. Let's like, no, like this is a big deal. Like on both sides, you know, it's like, what are we getting into? Is this what you want? Is this what I want? Does this make sense? if Megan wanted to be the CEO of the company by next year, that would be nice to know. Is that possible? You know, where, what's the track like? You know, just throwing that out as an example, but what's her ambitions? What's her goals? And are we really a place that's going to allow her to spread her wings and get there? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had this before when I was either managing team members or just working within a team, or even just being, being someone frontline and just feeling like, I know I'm really smart. I know I'm a quick study. I have a lot of, I can get access to a lot of tools, but the things just aren't clicking for, in certain areas. The work isn't working. I know we've all been in situations where you're just kind of almost frozen because you don't know how to get it done the most effectively, right? So creating a clear path of expectations for your frontline staff is, I've found to be really important. And it helps me get out of a fog whenever I feel like that and I don't feel empowered. Just remember what I'm expected to do. And, you know, your resources fall aligned there as well. I'm not sure that even sentence made sense. Matt, sometimes
I do that all the time, you know, probably did it like 5 times. Yeah. To your point. I mean, also like having a place where you work that you can stop and ask for help or, you know, and not be like, oh crap, I can't ask for help. Like I got to figure this out and just bang against the wall repeatedly until you burn yourself out. And then everybody's like, what's going on? Like, why you burn out? Like, I just didn't know I could even reach out to anybody. Like, yeah. So you just got to have an environment that's like, no, like, let's get on a call with a few people and just spitball some ideas. I was on a call this morning with Rebecca, Brian, and Gary. We were just talking about how we could help some of these clients that had different budgets or didn't want a longer term contract. And like, I'm sitting there going, let's talk this through. Cause I don't, you know, even as an owner, like, you got Gary, our president, like he's got what he wants and I got how I'm trying to help a client and we have to align on that. And so just coming up with ideas and so just having a safe place basically to say, hey, I need help guys. I don't know what to do, you know,
providing the, there will be times where you fall and you need to be supported with the safe, soft spot. And that's what your team members and that's what your company should be doing for you. If you're helping them and making them feel like they're safe with you and that you're not going to be kicked out the door because you didn't know what to do.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, you don't want to, you want to feel like, oh, am I not good enough because I have to like try to ask for some assistance here. Or on the flip side, are you empowered to like break out and be like, hey guys, I got this new idea. Like I want a new service we should do, a new pricing model, or hey, I'm going to present something at the company meeting because I think we should do this. Like, to be able to like bring ideas to the table way outside of maybe where your position is.
Yeah.
I think that's, and we're always looking for that here. Like a new intern can come in and be like, hey, I see a problem where I have an idea. Like, cool. What do you got? You know, so that's how you get opportunity. And that's what we want here for sure. There's people that rise up, bring new ideas, and your culture could be restraining those people, you know?
Could be. I mean, you can have your ideal culture, but if you're not creating that, if it's not supported by the climate that you're creating, if people are scared, and when I've been in that environment, you're all in your cubicles, and when someone walks by, you all, no, everyone stops having fun. We're all getting our work done, but we're all laughing, and then it's.
I used to have a job like that many years ago.
That's a climate issue. That's an issue. And you can say, you can have people walk in, they're all going to do the smiley thing. They're all going to tell you what you want to hear. But so there's something rotten at the core, right? Yeah,
that's
what we motivate through the Kudos program, the importance of having that good culture, because it's not just a throw around term. We live it, breathe it every single day. So we do motivate that person to ask those curious questions and to come up with new ideas. You will never be stifled by that, ever.
Yeah. And then again, as a business owner, you don't want to be the smartest one in the room. You want other people around you to be bringing ideas and to rise above. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the senior partners or the attorneys, you know, love the associates. I mean, whoever's got freaking idea, like, who cares? Let's, you know, bring it forward.
Two brains are better than one. Four brains are better than two.
Yeah.
That's, the more the, it's great.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think other than that, you know, it's just, again, I guess about the goals, but you know what, I think when someone comes into your firm, what do they see themselves in 2 years, 1 year, five years? Do they even see that? Can they see that? And I think a lot of people here, this is my perspective, a lot of you, especially younger, they don't have any goals. Like, I've literally asked some employees in the past, like, what are your goals? Like, what's your financial goal? What's your pay goals? And they're like, I don't know. You know, they've never thought that that was something they should take time to even do. Like, they're just not, that's not them. You know, it's like, well, you gotta, like, I've had to like pull it out. Like, well, you gotta have some kind of goal. You want to run a marathon? Do you want to make $100,000 a year? What is it? You know? And so I think a lot of people just maybe have not done that for themselves. And I think a company, you know, I'd like to do better with here of like, let's literally document that and say, okay, how do we help you do this? Or like, I'll do to Ireland on a trip and take off 2 weeks. Okay. How do we do that? We have unlimited time off here. You can figure something out. You know, I think that's, it sounds daunting for every single employee if you have a lot of people, but just assign your managers to do it. But I think it's something you should work into to your program for sure.
Absolutely. Ultimately, for us to achieve the goal of successful, meaningful client communication, that we're grasping clients' priorities and understanding their goals, helping them with their challenges, it starts with and ends with the people that you have that are doing this for you and with you. So in order to have those people really get to your goals that you want to accomplish and to have them feel really good and confident enough to be able to ask those questions and do that good job, make a good impression, having a strong system of values and culture that you want to breed and multiply, I think is a huge critical priority. That's what I look for when I'm going to an organization. They, you know, you have a good head on your shoulders, you know, so that's who you are as a person, as an organization. This is what you represent and who you come across as. So that's your culture and values. And then we talked about attracting and retaining that talent. So you know what you want, you get them in the door. How do you get the best out of them? Because we also talked about a lot of people don't really know where they want to drive their values towards and what their bumpers are in life, right? So providing that good, solid foundation for them to explore that for themselves, but in a good path, and then empowering them to feel really great and confident about their experience at the company. And that resonates down to the client. Something I love is when I call any kind of doctor's office or the vet's office. I called for my dog today, and I was speaking to the girl, and she was a new girl I got on the phone, and I don't call that often. But she was so sweet. And she was telling me, she's like, oh, yeah, I've been here. I've been at their other location for a bunch of years. And now I'm here. So when people start talking to you, like, you're staying for a reason. Mm-hmm. This girl was happy to work with me. And I had a lot of questions because it's a new vet and all this stuff. So she actually talked to me. And like a little experience like that, I'm like, even at a vet's office or just anywhere, this person, it tells me about the place I'm walking into, you know? So
if they hated their job, they wouldn't have. They'd be like, "Yeah, what? Yeah, come on in. This is, you know, maybe a totally different experience."
Right? Yeah,
they want to get their day over with. Get out of there.
I'll end it with this last thing: a warning story to be warned. So, when I was working at a car dealership, we had all of our calls that were outbound and inbound recorded. So, in a training exercise that I thought leaded towards very bad culture was they would play randomly someone's phone recording in a room, and we'd all have to like grade the person, and you would never know if it was your voice that you were going to hear, because there were a few things that you had to say on the phone call. Like, did you mention our rewards program? Did you mention whatever it is? I worked hard to get that out of my brain since so they would play it for you. And if you were one of the bad calls that they played, they'd play a few good ones and a few if you were one of the bad ones, like they wouldn't pay attention to if it was just one off or if what the customer was saying. Oh my God, the whole room would look at you and they would say, this is to make you better. So there's a way to get it wrong when you're really trying to get it right. They really thought that this was a good training exercise. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that training exercise?
Yeah, I would say that's not a very good way of doing things, for sure.
Car dealership, but...
Well, I mean, most people would... They're they'd leave right there, probably after the fact. Just be like, I'm not even coming back. A lot of people wouldn't even feel good walking back in the room. So if you spent time and money and energy training that person, and they're pretty good, but maybe you just, you know, that call didn't work out for them. Like, you might just mentally, they might just be like, you know what? Now I'm a silent quitter, which means I'm not going to say I'm leaving, but I am going to leave, and I'm just going to stay here for a while until I figure that out. So, yeah, not good.
You can get it wrong. So that's my cautionary tale. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Warning story, I called it. That's my cautionary tale for you guys. That
I think, you know, if I think that's kind of crazy the way, but if you had a crazy, like, salesy, like, hardcore company where that is the culture, and you're like, you know what, if you come into this company, we're freaking crazy hardcore selling, like, you're here because that's what you want, maybe it would work in a situation like that. But you'd have a room full of, like, really thick-skinned people that maybe don't care. But
if that's what you're going for, then let it be known.
You should already know about it, probably. Yeah, going into
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So. And a lot of people do like it. They like that kind of stuff. I worked in a very competitive sales floor for a while. It taught me a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important to put that out there first.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think the moral of the story is you need to work on the basics. You need to work on establishing those things. Like, what do you want? And then before, you can't just, like, go to your culture that is now, say there's no trust in your organization. You can't just go to people like, hey, well, let's just make more trust here, guys. Like, no, like, you're obviously missing the mark on some stuff. That's not going to be an overnight flip. Like, you have to literally go talk to everyone and say, hey, what can we do better for you? What are you missing? What are we missing that you need? Obviously, starting a new firm, you have a lot of opportunities there. Taking an existing firm that you know that's just been, you got turnover and problems and it's just not doing what you expected, that could be some time and challenge ahead and a lot of turnover and reworking pretty much the whole company to, you know, depending on what the situation is. So it's an important thing. Like, this is huge. Everyone in your company reflects on customer and everyone else within the company, right? It all touches each other. So if you don't have this really figured out, it's just like a cancer, right? You're just constantly battling, bringing in more employees, and then the clients aren't referring you, and you're just like constantly advertising and marketing and paying someone like us to just drive leads all day so that they don't become a referral later. Like, that's not a way to go. You have to work on this.
Well said.
That's your warning from me. Law firm owners out there, so take it serious.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with, you know, other places, and of course you're here with us. I appreciate the good comments about what we're doing, but we always got to do better. There's more we can always do, and as you grow, you want to be able to do more. And so if you have a tight budget and you're like, I don't know how, I can't do all these things, Megan's not looking for us to buy her lunch or whatever. Like, it's, you got to go deeper than that and say, hey, we'd love to be able to do that all the time, but we're small, you know? And if you're a small firm, you know, it's not about that. It's, are you listening to them? Are you caring and trying to position them for success? So, but anyway, another Tactical Tuesday, everyone. I appreciate you tuning in. Megan, thanks for chatting with me today and talking about this. And we'll see you next Tuesday. And as always, every Thursday, with our other interviews with attorneys and other legal experts. So we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.